war has allied itself with the Easterlings and the cruel Haradrim. But it was not by numbers that we were defeated. A power was there that we have not felt before. Some said that it could be seen, like a great black horseman, a dark shadow under the moon. Wherever he came, a madness filled our foes, but fear fell on our boldest, so that horse and man gave way and fled. Only a remnant of our eastern force came back, destroying the last bridge that stood amid the ruins of Osgiliath. I was in the company that held the bridge, until it was cast down behind us. Four only were saved by swimming, my brother and myself and two others. But still we fight on, holding all the west shores of Anduin, and those who shelter behind us give us praise, if ever they hear our name. Much praise, but little help. Only from Rohan now will any men ride to us when we call. In this evil hour I have come on an errand over many dangerous leagues to Elrond. 110 days I have journeyed all alone, but I do not seek allies in war. The might of Elrond is in wisdom, not in weapons, it is said. I come to ask for counsel and the unravelling of hard words. For on the eve of the sudden assault, a dream came to my brother in a troubled sleep, and afterwards a like dream came oft to him again, and once to me. In that dream I thought the eastern sky grew dark, and there was a growing thunder, but in the west a pale light lingered, and out of it I heard a voice, remote but clear, crying, "Seek for the sword that was broken. In Imladris it dwells. There shall be counsels taken, stronger than Morgul's spells. There shall be shown a token that doom is near at hand. For Isildur's bane shall waken, and the halfling forth shall stand." Of these words we could understand little, and we spoke to our father, Denethor, lord of Minas Tirith, wise in the lore of Gondor. This only would he say, that Imladris was of old the name among the elves of a far northern dale, where Elrond the half-elven dwelt, greatest of lore-masters. Therefore, my brother, seeing how desperate was our need, was eager to heed the dream and seek for Imladris. But since the way was full of doubt and danger, I took the journey upon myself. Loath was my father to give me leave, and long have I wandered by roads forgotten, seeking the house of Elrond, of which many had heard, but few knew where it lay.
"And here in the house of Elrond more shall be made clear to you," said Aragorn, standing up.
He cast his sword upon the table that stood before Elrond, and the blade was in two pieces.
"Here is a sword that was broken," he said.
"And who are you, and what have you to do with Minas Tirith?" asked Boromir, looking in wonder at the lean face of the ranger and his weather-stained cloak.
"He is Aragorn, son of Arathorn," said Elrond, "and he is descended through many fathers from Isildur, Elendil's son, of Minas Ithil. He is the chief of the Dúnedain in the north, and few are now left of that folk."
"Then it belongs to you, and not to me at all," cried Frodo in amazement, springing to his feet, as if he expected the ring to be demanded at once.
"It does not belong to either of us," said Aragorn, "but it has been ordained that you should hold it for a while." "Bring out the ring, Frodo," said Gandalf solemnly. "The time has come. Hold it up, and then Boromir will understand the remainder of his riddle."
There was a hush, and all turned their eyes on Frodo. He was shaken by a sudden shame and fear, and he felt a great reluctance to reveal the ring and a loathing of its touch. He wished he was far away. The ring gleamed and flickered as he held it up before them in his trembling hand.
"Behold Isildur's bane," said Elrond.
Boromir's eyes glinted as he gazed at the golden thing. "The halfling," he muttered.
"Is then the doom of Minas Tirith come at last? But why then should we seek a broken sword?"
"The words were not the doom of Minas Tirith,"
said Aragorn.
But doom and great deeds are indeed at hand. For the sword that was broken is the sword of Elendil that broke beneath him when he fell. It has been treasured by his heirs when all other heirlooms were lost, for it was spoken of old among us that it should be made again when the ring, Isildur's bane, was found. Now you have seen the sword that you have sought. What would you ask? Do you wish for the house of Elendil to return to the land of Gondor?
I was not sent to beg any boon, but to seek only the meaning of a riddle, answered Boromir proudly.
Yet we are hard-pressed, and the sword of Elendil would be a help beyond our hope. If such a thing could indeed return out of the shadows of the past.
He looked again at Aragorn, and doubt was in his eyes. Frodo felt Bilbo stir impatiently at his side. Evidently, he was annoyed on his friend's behalf. Standing suddenly up, he burst out,
All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadow shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king.
Not very good, perhaps, but to the point, if you need more beyond the word of Elrond. If that was worth a journey of 110 days to hear, you had best listen to it.
He sat down with a snort.
I made that up myself, he whispered to Frodo, for the Dúnadan, a long time ago when he first told me about himself. I almost wish that my adventures were not over, and that I could go with him when his day comes.
Aragorn smiled at him. Then he turned to Boromir again.
For my part, I forgive your doubt, he said. Little do I resemble the figures of Elendil and Isildur as they stand carven in their majesty in the halls of Denethor. I am but the heir of Isildur, not Isildur himself. I've had a hard life and a long, and the leagues that lie between here and Gondor are a small part in the count of my journeys. I've crossed many mountains and many rivers, and trodden many plains, even into the far countries of Rún and Harad, where the stars are strange. But my home, such as I have, is in the north, for here the heirs of Valandil have ever dwelt in long line unbroken from father unto son for many generations. Our days have darkened, and we have dwindled, but ever the sword has passed to a new keeper. And this I will say to you, Boromir, ere I end. Lonely men are we, rangers of the wild, hunters, but hunters ever of the servants of the enemy, for they are found in many places, not in Mordor only. If Gondor, Boromir, has been a stalwart tower, we have played another part. Many evil things there are that your strong walls and bright swords do not stay. You know little of the lands beyond your bounds. Peace and freedom, do you say? The North would have known them little but for us. Fear would have destroyed them. But when dark things come from the houseless hills or creep from sunless woods, they fly from us. What roads would any dare to tread? What safety would there be in quiet lands or in the homes of simple men at night if the Dúnadan were asleep or were all gone into the grave? And yet less thanks have we than you. Travellers scowl at us, and countrymen give us scornful names. Strider I am to one fat man who lives within a day's march of foes that would freeze his heart or lay his little town in ruin if he were not guarded ceaselessly. Yet we would not have it otherwise. If simple folk are free from care and fear, simple they will be, and we must be secret to keep them so. That has been the task of my kindred, while the years have lengthened and the grass has grown. But now the world is changing once again. A new hour comes. Isildur's bane is found. Battle is at hand. The sword shall be reforged. I will come to Minas Tirith. "Isildur's bane is found, you say?" said Boromir. "I have seen a bright ring in the halfling's hand, but Isildur perished ere this age of the world began, they say. How do the wise know that this ring is his? And how has it passed down the years until it is brought hither by so strange a messenger?"
"That shall be told," said Elrond. "But not yet, I beg, master," said Bilbo. "Already the sun is climbing to noon, and I feel the need of something to strengthen me." "I had not named you," said Elrond, smiling, "but I do so now. Come, tell us your tale. And if you have not yet cast your story into verse, you may tell it in plain words. The briefer, the sooner shall you be refreshed."
"Very well," said Bilbo. "I will do as you bid. But I will now tell the true story, and if some here have heard me tell it otherwise," he looked sidelong at Cloyne, "I ask them to forget it and forgive me. I only wished to claim the treasure as my very own in those days, and to be rid of the name of thief that was put on me. But perhaps I understand things a little better now. Anyway, this is what happened." To some there Bilbo's tale was wholly new, and they listened with amazement while the old hobbit, actually not at all displeased, recounted his adventure with Gollum at full length. He did not omit a single riddle. He would have given also an account of his party and disappearance from the Shire, if he had been allowed, but Elrond raised his hand.
"Well told, my friend," he said, "but that is enough at this time. For the moment it suffices to know that the ring passed to Frodo, your heir. Let him now speak."
Then, less willingly than Bilbo, Frodo told of all his dealings with the ring from the day that it passed into his keeping. Every step of his journey from Hobbiton to the ford of Bruinen was questioned and considered, and everything that he could tell concerning the Black Riders was examined. At last he sat down.
"Not bad," Bilbo said to him. "You would have made a good story of it, if they hadn't kept on interrupting. I tried to make a few notes, but we shall have to go over it all again together some time, if I'm to write it up. There are whole chapters of stuff before you ever got here."
"Yes, it made quite a long tale," answered Frodo, "but the story still does not seem complete to me. I still want to know a good deal, especially from Gandalf." Galdor of the Havens, who sat nearby, overheard him. "You speak for me also," he cried, and turning to Elrond he said, "The wise may have good reason to believe that the halfling's trove is indeed the great ring of long debate, unlikely though that may seem to those who know less. But may we not hear the proofs? And I would ask this also. What of Saruman? He is learned in the lore of the rings, yet he is not among us. What is his counsel, if he knows the things that we have heard?"
"The questions that you ask, Galdor, are bound together," said Elrond. "I had not overlooked them, and they shall be answered. But these things it is the part of Gandalf to make clear, and I call upon him last, for it is the place of honour, and in all this matter he has been the chief."
"Some, Galdor," said Gandalf, "would think the tidings of Gloin and the pursuit of Frodo proof enough that the halfling's trove is a thing of great worth to the enemy. Yet it is a ring. What then? The nine the Nazgul keep, the seven are taken or destroyed."
At this Gloin stirred, but did not speak.
"The three we know of, what then is this one that he desires so much? There is indeed a wide waste of time between the river and the mountain, between the loss and the finding, but the gap in the knowledge of the wise has been filled at last, yet too slowly, for the enemy has been close behind, closer even than I feared. And well it is that not until this year, this very summer, as it seems, did we learn the full truth. Some here will remember that many years ago I myself dared to pass the doors of the necromancer in Dol Guldur and secretly explored his ways and found thus that our fears were true. He was none other than Sauron, our enemy of old, at length taking shape and power again. Some, too, will remember also that Saruman dissuaded us from open deeds against him, and for long we watched him only. Yet at last, as his shadow grew, Saruman yielded, and the council put forth its strength and drove the evil out of Mirkwood. And that was in the very year of the finding of this ring. A strange chance, if chance it was. But we were too late, as Elrond foresaw. Sauron also had watched us, and had long prepared against our stroke, governing Mordor from afar through Minas Morgul, where his nine servants dwelt, until all was ready. Then he gave way before us, but only feigned to flee, and soon after came to the Dark Tower and openly declared himself. Then for the last time the council met, for now we learned that he was seeking ever more eagerly for the One. We feared then that he had some news of it that we knew nothing of. But Saruman said nay, and repeated what he had said to us before, that the One would never again be found in Middle-earth. At the worst, said he, our enemy knows that we have it not, and that it still is lost. But what was lost may yet be found, he thinks. Fear not, his hope will cheat him. Have I not earnestly studied this matter? Into Anduin the Great it fell, and long ago, while Sauron slept, it was rolled down the river to the sea. There let it lie until the end.
Gandalf felt silent, gazing eastward from the porch to the far peaks of the misty mountains, at whose great roots the peril of the world had so long lain hidden. He sighed.
There I was at fault, he said. I was lulled by the words of Saruman the Wise, but I should have sought for the truth sooner, and our peril would now be less.
We were all at fault, said Elrond, and but for your vigilance the darkness, maybe, would already be upon us. But say on.
From the first my heart misgave me, against all reason that I knew, said Gandalf, and I desired to know how this thing came to Gollum, and how long he had possessed it. So I set a watch for him, guessing that he would ere long come forth from his darkness to seek for his treasure. He came, but he escaped and was not found. And then, alas, I let the matter rest, watching and waiting only, as we have too often done. Time passed with many cares, until my doubts were awakened again to sudden fear. Whence came the hobbit's ring? What, if my fear was true, should be done with it? Those things I must decide. But I spoke yet of my dread to none, knowing the peril of an untimely whisper, if it went astray. In all the long wars with the Dark Tower, treason has ever been our greatest foe. That was 17 years ago. Soon I became aware that spies of many sorts, even beasts and birds, were gathered round the Shire, and my fear grew. I called for the help of the Dúnedain, and their watch was doubled, and I opened my heart to Aragorn, the heir of Isildur.
And I, said Aragorn, counseled that we should hunt for Gollum, too late though it may seem. And since it seemed fit that Isildur's heir should labor to repair Isildur's fault, I went with Gandalf on the long and hopeless search. Then Gandalf told how they had explored the whole length of Wilderland, down even to the mountains of Shadow and the fences of Mordor.
There we had rumor of him, and we guessed that he dwelt there long in the Dark Hills, but we never found him, and at last I despaired. And then in my despair I thought again of a test that might make the finding of Gollum unneeded. The ring itself might tell if it were the One. The memory of words at the council came back to me, words of Saruman, half heeded at the time. I heard them now clearly in my heart. The 9, the 7, and the 3, he said, had each their